Hello, Sid Roth here. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. My guest, Kathy Oates, has told me that studies reveal 87% of illnesses, of sicknesses, are caused by stored toxic emotions. And if you could have X-ray vision and look at someone's heart, you would see cracks in their heart. And in some instances, you would actually see a portion of their heart broken off to protect themselves, and then they're an incomplete person. My guest was such a person.
Yes.
Kathy, you were conceived out of wedlock.
Yes.
I mean, you started out on shaky ground.
Right.
And you
illegitimate
were
ground.
You were abused as a child.
Right. Verbally and physically.
Tell me about Fat Kathy.
Well, early on, our family was very angry, very angry. My mother was abused. She was physically abused, emotionally abused. And by the time I entered school, I was bigger than all the other kids. And so I was teased about it. I was not accepted. And when I got to school, the only comfort that I found was through eating. And so I got bigger and more teasing, and it created a whole cycle in those early years that was very destructive.
And then you must have had a lot of emotional pain as a result of
this. I had an awful lot of emotional pain, and there was no place to put the pain. I wasn't safe at home to process pain. I wasn't safe at home to be angry and let the anger out I really felt. I wasn't safe at school. The one redeeming quality was I had a good intellect. And so I focused on my studies. I focused on that. But at the same time, I would eat to cover up the pain, just anything to cover up the pain.
Okay, so you finally decided maybe there's something more to life than the anesthesia of eating.
Right.
And you then become skinny, Kathy.
I become very thin, ultra thin, and all borderline anorexic. Wound up in the hospital with a kidney infection, was very thin and very popular. It's like all my dreams came true. I was dated the captain of the football team. I was the cheerleader. It was like Cinderella. And those were my last couple of years of high school. But inside, I was a hurting puppy, very hurting and very seeking. I was seeking a lot. None of my family knew the Lord. None of them had ever come into a personal relationship with the Lord. And nobody in my town that I knew of.
Okay, so you become a believer, you marry Gary, you're 28 years a pastor's wife, but you finally have reached your point where you just don't want to be an actress anymore and say, everything's fine, I'm blessed.
Right, from the outside, we look like the perfect pastor's family. I want to really make that clear, because people can look good from the outside, but the Lord knows what's happening on the inside. The Lord knows all the anger, all the fear, all the torment that's going on. And that's what was happening with me. And by the time I'd stuffed 28 more years of anger and frustration and fear and self-hatred on top of what I already brought into the marriage, there was a lot of arguing, a lot of fighting amongst us. And I decided if Gary would just get better, give me more affection, be a better husband, or we had a bigger church, or because we had pioneered churches for 28 years. I was looking to all the outward things. If I just had this, it would make me happy.
Just like you were looking for the food as Fat Kathy.
It was looking, but I had stayed thin. I fought to stay thin, and it was to my physical detriment, really. And then all of a sudden, God began to work on me. And I began to see it was really about the inside out. It was really about what was really going on. And I had to face the truth about what was on the inside of me. And it wasn't about my good deeds. It wasn't about being a good pastor's wife. It was about the jealousies, the anger, the strife, the bitterness on the inside. The anger was horrific.
What was the first key that you got to get free?
The first key was that God began to speak truth in my innermost parts. I began to get quiet enough. I think we live in such a rat race of a world. We're not quiet enough to tune in to what's happening on the inside of us or the things that we believe. And so the Lord began to bring truth to the lies. Well, then I began to notice there's a war going on the inside of me. There's one person that feels one way and one person that's very angry. And when the pain would get stepped on the inside, this angry person would come out, this bitter person would come out, and I didn't like her at all. And Gary didn't like her at all. And it was very difficult. I remember Gary saying to me one time, if you just think more positively. And I said to him, you know, Gary, you don't understand this. You don't understand what it's like to have two people on the inside warring against each other. And it was those words out of my mouth, I began to see a Christian can have a broken heart. They can be split, so to speak. And one part holding all the pain, all the trauma, and another part trying to be Sally Good Christian all the time. And I came to him and I said, Gary, I don't care what you're going to do. I don't care if we have the biggest church. I don't care if my house is perfect. I don't care if my kids are perfect. I'm going to get the help I need. And that's when I began to really seek the Lord about that. And a man came along that had a ministry of healing and talking to us about walls and parts. And during that period of ministry, I got real quiet. And because I'm a visual person, the Lord showed me visually what was happening on the inside. And I began to see that I had a big wall on the inside. And the man said, well, ask the Lord, what's the name of the wall? Because sometimes we don't know things about ourselves, and God knows all truth about us. So I heard the word fear. And I asked the Lord, Lord, just come and minister to that wall. And it's like in my mind's eye, I saw a big ball and chain come and smash that wall. And then I saw behind the wall a little part of who I was. In fact, it was a big part of who I was. And I asked the Lord, who is that? And I heard Fat Kathy. That was the part of me that I had despised. That was the part of me that I had rejected. That was the part of me that held all the pain. And as I saw that part, I said, Lord, she looks so sad. And I saw that little fat girl crying. And the man that was praying with me said, are you willing to embrace that part of you? And I said, absolutely not. I hate that part of me. And there are many, many who feel the same way about parts of themselves that hold shame and trauma and fear and torment. They don't want to have anything to do with them. And he said, well, are you willing for the Lord Jesus to come and minister to that part? And I said, yes, I am. And so in my mind's eye, I felt and saw the Lord coming and putting his arm around that part that I had hated and despised for so many years. And he said, what's happening to her now? And I said, well, she's looking happier. And you know, as I sat there and I kind of watched this video going on the inside of me, I began to realize she's part of who I am. And when I left her behind, I left a lot of who I was.
You rejected part of yourself.
I rejected part of myself. Look, she was so rejected. She wasn't loved. At home, her dad didn't pay attention to her. There was screaming and yelling all the time. At school, the kids made fun of her. And I just decided, since nobody else liked her, why should I? And I pushed all the pain and shoved all the pain in that part of my heart, and it broke. And as I got older, I got ADD. I couldn't focus on anything. And my grades went down. I can tell you almost to the day when that happened. Because from then on, I got a transcript of my high school grades. They went down to mediocre. And I had been at the top of my class. And so the Lord gave me a compassion for that part of me. I could feel the Lord's heart loving her. And as the Lord loved her, I looked at her and I thought, I want her to come back. I need to be whole again. And that is what salvation means. It means to be made whole, to be saved, to be set free, to be delivered.
Now, you were talking about in Isaiah, part of why the reason the Messiah came was to restore the brokenhearted.
It was to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to open the prison doors. And in fact, in Luke 4, that was Jesus' mission statement. The church has not held that mission statement.
Okay, let's take you. What happened to your ADD?
The ADD began to subside as I asked that part back.
In fact, you told me your entire personality changed. What were you like before and how did you change?
I was very angry, much more nervous, much more excitable, much more fearful, very fearful, worried a lot, anxiety ridden. But I think the most prevalent thing was this underlying seething anger all the time. I just could not get rid of it. And as I began to release the trauma out of that part, I began to release the anger, I began to release the pain, and that part reunited with me. And it was an actual experience for me. It was as if two puzzle pieces were being slammed together, and there was a solidarity about how I felt about myself.
I've heard of people that have done this that couldn't even play a piano, and all of a sudden they can play the piano when their heart comes together. It's like part of who you're incomplete.
Right, you are incomplete. And I, after working in this ministry for quite a number of years now, I don't see how we can come into the complete destiny that the Lord has for us. Because our destiny includes all of who we are, all of the way the Lord made us. I just prayed for a woman recently in a meeting, and I could tell that she had left an artsy part where she was loved art, did painting, loved music. That part had been totally rejected by her for some reason or another. And I could see the Lord beginning to bring that back to her again. It's amazing how much of who we are we lose.
Now, you do group meetings all over the world where you pray, and that's why I love your new book, Open My Heart, Lord. But, you know, I have to tell you, Kathy, it seems too simple the way you outline it in this book.
Well, I think the Lord is simple. And as long as we follow his simple principles, I found some people that are broken more than just one fragment. I found people that are broken many fragments and shattered lives. But that's what the word broken means in the Hebrew. In Isaiah 61, it means to be broken, splintered, shattered.
Most of us have broken hearts because we're in a broken world with broken people. With a devil floating around trying to steal, kill, and destroy. What do you expect? But God wants to bring the broken pieces back together, and that's what he's done with Kathy Oates. And you have these seminars all over the world. In fact, I went to one of yours.
That's right.
I'm amazed at what... Tell me one seminar you went to, what you prayed for, and one person whose life was changed.
I could do so many. But the one that stands out, the most recent one, which is a good thing to do, recent ones, is when we were praying and asking the Lord to bring up the trauma and release it, and bring up the anger and release it. And as we were doing this, and the Lord was beginning to take the anger out of the people, beginning to take the trauma, sometimes you'll hear a lot of emotional ab reactions. Sometimes it'll be a very quiet thing. However God chooses to do it. In this particular case, it was very quiet. And apparently this woman was in the auditorium, and she had been on Prozac for 15 years. She had tried to go off of it several times and could not get free from it. In one instant, God lifted all the depression, anger, all the trauma off of her spirit, and I saw her 3 months after that, and she had been totally free from the Prozac for 3 months and feeling great. She said that it totally changed her lives. I get stories like this all the time.
You know, Kathy, it's not just older people. The meeting I went to with you and your husband, there were just teenagers there.
There were teenagers there. There were absolutely teenagers there. And in fact, let me tell you a story of a teenager that I prayed with in Sweden. I mean, in Switzerland, they brought this girl to me. She had been raped 2 days earlier, and she was devastated. She was shaking. She could hardly function. And as we prayed and began to release the trauma, This trauma was so fresh, she absolutely screamed it out and released all that energy, all that fear, all that torment that was done against her.
Or as we said at the earlier, 87% of diseases are actually, their causes are these stored toxic emotions. It's good to get rid of them.
Right, and a lot of women have had rape and incest and molestation and have never been able to release it. It's been secret, it's been hidden, it's been in a box on the inside of them. And it spreads itself. I don't want to go into all the physical ramifications of that right now, but for this young girl, she released all that 2 days after the rape, and I'm telling you, she went out of that place with the peace of God and the radiance of God on her.
Well, there are people watching us right now and say,
yes,
I want my heart to come together. I want to get rid of these toxic emotions. Could you pray a corporate prayer for them
right now? I would love to. Right now, many of you out there are identifying with the words that I'm saying. Many of you have had secret abuses brought against you that you're afraid to tell anybody about. Many of you know what it's like. You identify with my testimony. You know what it's like to be broken and to be physically and verbally abused. And you understood everything I said. It's as if my testimony is your testimony. Let me come to you today and let's ask the Lord right now in this very place, right wherever you're standing, right whatever you're doing, stop what you're doing, listen. The Lord wants to bring release to that trauma. Let's just ask the Lord to do that right now. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you come. And there are many people out there, Father, that you care and you love and your heart is for right now, that you're very present with them right in this very moment. And Lord, we ask that you would begin to pull now all the trauma and pain out of their hearts, Lord. Release the anger, the frustration, the terror that they have stuffed for so many years. Break it off of them, Lord. Lift it out. In an instant, God, do a miracle right now. And Lord, if any of them feel that there's a little part on the inside of them, a little girl, a little boy that they're familiar with, that they know has been down there, in there for years and years, and that they have pushed away, have not cared for, have not loved. Lord, you begin to minister to that little part. You begin to make yourself known to that little part. You begin to put your arms around it, Lord. Just come in and minister to it in Jesus' name. And for many of you right now, you may be even seeing good parts, innocent parts that you've left behind because you came into a time of trauma and horror. And these little innocent parts need to be restored to you. Just take time now before the Lord. Just take a moment. Just kind of check yourself and say to this part, I am so sorry I left you back there to hold all that pain, all that trauma, all that shame, all that fear, all that anger. If you come back and be a part of me again, I promise with the Lord's help to take care of you, to set good boundaries for you. You're important. I love you. You're part of who I am. Now, many of you may just want to begin to embrace that part, begin to put your arms around it in the spirit realm, so to speak, and draw that part into yourself. Some of you, if the Lord is there beside you and you sense his presence, and this seems like a difficult thing, you're a little bit afraid, why don't you just say to the Lord, Lord, would you just help me right now? Would you just help me become whole again, like I need to be, like I want to be? Now, Lord, we just ask that you begin to envelope all these little parts that you care for, that you died for, that you took all their pain with you on the cross. Just pull them into that person. Just let them feel this sense of wholeness and fullness, and let them know you in the deep, deep, deep dark places that nobody sees. Nobody sees but you, Lord. Let them know that you're even in those deep, dark places, and bring health and wholeness and healing, Lord. In fact, right now, I ask, Father, that you would release a healing anointing that would go with them even in their sleep, even in their daydreams, even when they're driving the car, Lord. that you would meet them in the healing process, even in those times. And this would be the beginning of stepping into your healing process, Lord God, the knowledge that Jesus Christ is the one who paid for all this, that Buddha didn't do it, Muhammad didn't do it. No leader of any major religion went to the cross so that you could be free from your pain. Jesus is the only one that did that. He's the only one that took our pains. He's the only one that took our sorrows. He's the only one. Let him be that only one now, Lord. We release your presence and the knowledge of you in these deep, dark places to bring healing and light and truth. In Jesus' name.